of my message today, this morning, is living a radiant life. But what does that actually mean? In fact, what does the word radiant also, what does it mean? Well, whenever we want to ask that, it's a good idea to go to the good old dictionary. The shorter Oxford English Dictionary, well, if you should have seen it, it was this thick. I'd hate to see the longer one. It describes radiant as two things: shining brightly, or with eyes that are alive, bringing, beaming forth joy and hope. Now, remember what Jesus, the light of the world, remember what he taught his disciples, and incidentally, that includes every one of us here today. Every Christ follower is here today. He is teaching us that as well. What did he teach his disciples in Matthew 5, verses 14 and 16? Let me read it to you. Verse 14 said, he says to the disciples, you are the light of the world. And then in verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So it's all about light, shining, beaming, everything. So for us to live a radiant life, we need to ask ourselves these questions. Is our life, our face, our countenance, whatever you want to call it, is it shining brightly? Do people see that we are different? Is our life, our face, our countenance, whatever it is, displaying joy and hope? Are your eyes dancing? I always look at Robin's eyes, and they're usually sparkling. That's what our eyes should be like. You see, as followers of Jesus, I mean, that's what he said. We need to shine our light to the world. So we expected to have such a countenance, which eyes that are alive, displaying joy and hope. However, if this answer to those questions is no, what and how do we need to change to become that person? Now, last week, in continuing our series through the book of Acts, Ross spoke about Stephen, whose life clearly demonstrated what it is to live a full life, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, full of faith and power, full of grace. So I think it's fair to say that if we were to bump into Stephen today, we would have seen his life shining just like that, brightly, with eyes full of joy and hope. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. How did Stephen reach that point whereby he, by living a full life, became living a radiant life, a life that shone brightly, full of hope, full of joy? Incidentally, it didn't just happen, nor was it something that miraculously appeared. No, it was something that took Stephen time and faithful persistence. But first, let us just pray. Let's close our eyes. Father, thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning with your church. Holy Spirit, I pray that each word I speak this morning is straight from you. Words that you desire your people to hear, and nothing is from me. I pray for soft and open hearts that are ready to receive and to take to heart whatever it is you want to share with your people today. Each of us here this morning, and that's individually and corporately, so that when we leave this place today, Lord, we are changed. We are not the same as we were when we walked through those doors. I just pray that you would change us, Lord, with the words that you wanted to share with us today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now, someone once said, when opportunity comes knocking, it's a bit late to prepare. And how true that is. How many times do many people miss out when opportunity comes knocking? Maybe due to them being unable to take it, unable to say yes, or unable to have the time, the talents, or the wherewithal to actually take hold of it. If only, that becomes a cry of many, looking back, wishing they were better prepared, wishing they were in a better position, wishing that they had been more ready. So that begs the question, why are many not ready? Could it be that they didn't use the waiting time as preparation time? They didn't think, or maybe they didn't think or plan for the future. They were living in the now. Or maybe it was just impatience. They didn't have a long-term view. I want it all, and I want it now. However, if we look at Stephen, here is an example to us that we can be ready when opportunity comes, if only we learn to wait better, to wait more productively, to turn our waiting time into investment and preparation time for what God has planned for us. Then we would be ready for opportunities, just like Stephen was. And just remember, when it comes to waiting, we all spend a lot of time waiting, not so. Waiting in line, waiting for news, waiting for response, waiting for a promotion, waiting for the next phase of our life. But what we maybe don't realize is while we're waiting, God is busy working. God is preparing us in the waiting. Isaiah 64, verse 4. Listen what this says. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Interesting, huh? No eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. As we said, while we're waiting, God is working. We're going to be hitting this thing today quite hard about waiting, waiting for the Lord. So we might not see, while we're waiting, we might not see immediate changes or progress in times of waiting, especially when it's times of difficulty or times of personal growth. But we need to understand that there is a plan and a purpose for it all. If you remember Romans 8:28, that tells us that there's a kind and loving Father who is working on our behalf in the background. One of the things also that waiting often reveals is our true motives and intention, isn't it? You start losing patience, and what is your intention? Now, maybe you're in the time of waiting right now. Consider this. You're not the first person who had to wait for God to act. Let's have a look at a few examples. Maybe this, I don't know if this will encourage you when you hear how long they had to wait, but anyway. Abraham and Sarah, they had to wait 25 years after God's promise before Isaac was born. Isaac and Rebekah, they had to wait 20 years for their first child. Joseph had to wait 13 years in prison before he was set free and put on the throne. Moses had to wait 40 years before he could lead his people from slavery into freedom. Hannah, she was barren. How many years did she have to wait before she had her first child, Samuel? So did Zechariah and Elizabeth. They also had to wait many years before their first son, John. Jesus waited 30 years before starting his public ministry, and so on. The one I didn't mention there was Noah. Can you imagine Noah? 120 years building an ark when they hadn't even seen rain. Now that's what I call waiting in faith. So you see, waiting is part of the process, is as part of the process as seizing the opportunity at the right time is. Let me say that again. Waiting is as part of the process as seizing an opportunity is at the right time is. So, main points to remember here about waiting. Active waiting, looking again at Stephen, active waiting is what turned Stephen into a man of faith, which then prepared him to have great courage when he needed it. And that is what transformed him into a man full of wisdom and power. Now also, I'm sure we are all inspired when we read Hebrews 11, the heroes of the faith. It's a list of people who saw God doing extraordinary things in ordinary people. Yet what is very important to consider is that these biographies that we read in chapter 11, they're only like a highlight reel. They're a short trailer of their lives, really. What we don't see is how many ordinary days they had. How many days, weeks, years of day-to-day faithfulness. We don't see how many ordinary days they had. We don't see how many dark nights of the soul they experienced. We don't see how many times of hopelessness, despair, wanting to give up, etc. And what we don't see also is the opposition that they faced during this time of waiting. Yet, what are they commended for? They commended for their persistent faith. They commended for not ever giving up, but just hanging on to God. Remember, God has a great plan and a purpose with your life. Yet, you won't just drift into it. It won't come automatically for you. It will require effort. It will require faith and persistence. It will require a faithful community like we have here. It will only come if we don't give up. Which is why the author of Hebrews said earlier that although there is a great race for each one of us to run, we've always got to bear in mind that there is a great inheritance to take hold of in God. And in community with others. Yet, this incredible thing will not, as I said, come automatically. It won't come quickly. It requires day-by-day faithfulness. Listen, Hebrews 6, verse 12 says this, "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." Let me read that again. Hebrews 6, verse 12. "We do not want you to become lazy, but we want you to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." Patience. What does patience mean? It means faithful perseverance, never giving up. Day-by-day faithfulness, what does that mean? It means getting up every day, spending time with God, reading your Bible, prayer, doing your day job with excellence as unto God, raising your children, managing yourself well, serving in a community of faith, going to sleep, and then wait for it, only to start all over again. That is day-by-day faithfulness. So what is the point? See, there's too many people looking for quick opportunities, and too few people are looking to be faithful over a long time with what they have in their hands. I think that's quite profound. I'm going to read it again for you guys. Too many people are looking for quick opportunities, and too few people are looking to be faithful over a long time with what they have in their hands. So only long-term faithfulness is what prepares us to be ready when these opportunities come. Isn't this what we see in Stephen's life? How was he ready when that opportunity came? He was like a fighter on fight night, right? When the lights went on and he faced his opponents, they could see that he was well trained, they could see that he was prepared, they could see that he was ready. Especially his opponents in Acts 6, verses 9 to 10. When they began to argue with Stephen, they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. You see, all this was possible. Why? Because Stephen, having been faithful in private, was prepared to challenge in public. He knew what he was doing. He knew what had to be done. Why is this important? Again, stressing, we don't get full. Stephen didn't get full overnight. It takes time. The Bible highlights this, even highlights this about Jesus. If you read in Luke 2, verse 52, it says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. As a man coming to the earth, Jesus wasn't born with wisdom and stature. He came to this earth as a helpless babe, but he grew into it. Stephen didn't become full of the Spirit overnight. No, he grew into it over time. Over time, he became full of wisdom, full of the Spirit, full of power, full of faith, full of grace. So what does this mean? What it means is what you give yourself to today and every day is what you will have tomorrow. What you give yourselves to today and every day is what you will have tomorrow. What you invest in today is what you will get a return on tomorrow. The seeds you sow today will determine the harvest that you will reap tomorrow. See, this life is all about that good biblical principle of sowing and reaping. It's terrible when you want to cough and you can't because I'll blow your eardrums apart. Let me read Galatians 6, verse 7 to 10. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 10. This is where we're talking, where God is talking about reaping and sowing. It says, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Bold, highlighted. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Just reading verse 9 again. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." You see, Stephen sowed to please the Holy Spirit, which is why he reaped the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is why he was full of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, his daily faithfulness that we spoke about in spending time in the Word and with the Holy Spirit made Stephen a man of great wisdom and power. This enabled him to face the Sanhedrin in the next chapter, in chapter 7, and I would love for him to have been allowed to finish his service, his sermon, because it was incredible. So it enabled him in Acts 7 to powerfully address these accusations that were unjust, leveled against him. I'm going to read Acts 6, I'm going to read from verse 11 to tell you what these accusations were. "Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, 'We have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God.'" I love the way that's Moses first, God second. I think there's something wrong there. "Blasphemy against Moses and against God. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, This fellow never stopped speaking about how this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs." Again, Moses handed down to us. It's very Moses orientated. "But with the help of the Holy Spirit, Stephen had special revelation. For he could see certain things that these religious leaders could not." You see, they called people to keep the law of Moses. Stephen, no, he preached that Jesus freed us from the law of Moses, that Jesus fulfilled the law so that we can live in, what, an intimate relationship with God. These leaders, they called people to worship at the temple in the Old Testament way, whereas Stephen called them to worship Jesus. For Jesus had said, "This temple would be destroyed. And this physical temple is replaced by us, becoming the temples of God." Stephen believed it. He saw it before anyone else, that the temple was only a shadow. The real temple, the spiritual temple that Jesus is building, that's us, the church, which is made up of people. 1 Peter 2, verse 5 says it, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So through this we can see Stephen obviously was a man of great faith, of great courage, great wisdom, and great spiritual power. I'd like to read a quote from somebody, F.F. Bruce, which sums up Stephen's confrontation with the religious leaders so well. It says, "The wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke were the gifts of God. And his opponents were no match for them. They could not resist either the truth of his arguments nor the power of his conviction. So Stephen again is demonstrating to us, he's an example of a Word and Spirit man, just as Jesus and his disciples actually model to us. R.T. Kendall has got a really good quote about this Word and Spirit man, which is what we all want to be. We want to be Word and Spirit. Listen to what he says. When we have the Word without the Spirit, we tend to dry up. If we have the Spirit without the Word, we tend to blow up. If we have both Spirit and Word, we tend to grow up and become fired up. For when the word and the Spirit is properly joined, there is explosive power to be had. Let me read that again. When we have the Word without the Spirit, we tend to dry up. If we have the Spirit without the Word, we tend to blow up. If we have both Spirit and Word, we tend to grow up and become fired up. For when the Word and the Spirit is properly joined, there is explosive power to be had. So bearing all of this in mind, we're going to see the example of Stephen as a Word and Spirit man when he actually appears in the last verse of chapter 6. It gives us a glimpse of a man ready for when the opportunity arrives. This is just before he actually addresses the Sanhedrin. So he's ready when the opportunity arrives. As I said, everyone could see that he was well trained, that he was prepared, that he was ready. The final verse of Acts 6:15 is, as I said, just before he addresses the Sanhedrin in chapter 7. It reads as this: all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Now, to me, that word, they looked intently. There, you know, for everyone to look intently at him, there must have been something different. It's something out of the ordinary. And they say his face was like the face of an angel. Well, what is the face of an angel? What does it look like? We are told to be the light of the world. We are told to let our light shine. I believe that what was displayed there, his face was radiant. And he also wasn't the first person in the Bible to have a radiant face like that, to be recorded in the Bible as having a radiant face. Exodus 39, verses 29 to 30. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. He had spent time with the Lord. When Aaron and the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. Now, if Stephen's face is radiant, and it's causing everybody to look intently at him, as I'm sure it was, certainly these religious leaders, they were all members of the Sanhedrin, they were all steeped in the Torah, in the five books of the Bible. When they were looking at Stephen's glowing face, like that of an angel, they would surely have recalled Moses' shining face, as recorded in Exodus. Now, we've been speaking about radiant, we've been speaking about light, we've been speaking about let your light shine, and yet they're looking at that and they don't seem to. I think, quite honestly, it must have rattled them a bit, looking at this guy, because they've been going on about Moses, how he's been going on about Moses, and blah, 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 blah about Moses. But it was as though God was saying, I nearly blew your ears apart again. It's as though God was saying, this man is not against Moses. He is like Moses. He is my faithful servant. And yet these leaders, steeped in the Torah, steeped in the Word, ignored it. So in Stephen, I believe we see a combination of an understanding of the gospel with the radiating presence of God in his life. So in conclusion, if we are to answer the question I raised at the beginning of this message as to how we are to live a radiant life, I believe we don't have to look no further than Stephen's example. We need to learn to wait more productively. We need to learn to put our wait time into preparation time. We need to learn to have persistent faith, not ever giving up. We need to learn to have a day-by-day faithfulness. We need to learn to daily spend time with God and His Word. And most of all, we need to learn to be constantly filled and led by the Holy Spirit. This will lead to a powerful combination, what I spoke about earlier, combination of a Word and a Spirit life, which is the kind of life for ourselves. That's what we want, I'm sure. Every single one of us would like that, to be a Word and Spirit people. Now, if we do that, if we become a Word and Spirit people, living from God's presence daily, what's going to happen? The more time you spend with Jesus, the more people in your sphere will see it. And the more people will want you to give a reason for the joy and hope that you have. So South City, get ready to take the witness stand and tell them who Jesus is. Get ready, South City, take the witness stand and tell them who Jesus is. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for Stephen and the example that his life was to show us that we can be prepared and totally ready to act when the opportunities that you place before us come about. Help us, we pray, to take heart that you taught and what you taught us this morning. And starting today, help us to put that into practice, we pray. May we, by so doing, as your church here at South City, may it change our lives to become a powerful combination of Word and Spirit. Word and Spirit lives for your glory and for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In whose powerful name we pray. Amen.